welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode. Matter of fact, probably a little bit of a shorter episode. Maybe I shouldn't say that, because every time I say I'm going to do a short episode, it ends up not being a short episode. Whatever, it'll be an episode. The trailer for the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie dropped, I guess, last night or this morning. And I know the internet's been a buzz about it. I was going to wait and maybe not watch it, but then my wife texted me. She's like, did you see the Joker trailer? It looks really good. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to watch this trailer. And the reason I didn't want to watch it is very simple. There was a teaser that popped up, I think sometime last week, maybe a few days ago over the weekend, that just didn't really excite me. It looked kind of weird. And, you know, I've talked about this movie a few times before, how I was actually excited about it. And I am. So before we continue, let me preface by saying, I think this movie looks great. But there's been images and stuff floating around. There were a couple like screen tests and things like that. And I thought it looked good. And I know people are kind of crapping on this movie a little bit before seeing anything. And, you know, that's typical nerd culture, I guess, right? We often tend to come to conclusions about what it is that we're seeing or about to see or read or read or whatever. Especially with characters that we have a deep passion for. And I mean, you guys know I'm a Batman fan, right? I mean, I have said this before on the podcast. I love Batman. And I love the Joker. He's not my favorite villain, but I do love the Joker. And I'm kind of excited for this film. This teaser that popped a couple days ago, I wasn't sure about it. It looked pretty bland to me. And I think maybe I had worked myself up a little bit based on the stuff that I'd seen before, based on the creative team working on this film, based on Joaquin Phoenix's previous work. And the thing about Joaquin Phoenix is he's a really interesting guy, right? If, matter of fact, this came up in the text, cause my wife's like, did you see the Joker trailer? I said, nah. I was like, I saw this thing last week and I wasn't too fond of it, so I don't know if I'm gonna watch it. I still wanna see the movie, but I don't know if I'm gonna watch any trailers. She's like, no, you should really see it. And so I saw it, and then she and I started going back and forth via text. And the reason I got excited for that is, number one, my wife hates comic books. My wife hates comic books. You guys know I love comic books. If I could just sit in my studio all day long and read comic books, I would do that. I don't even need to get paid for it. Like, if there was a way that somehow food magically appeared and my mortgage was magically paid, I would just sit in my room all day and read comics. It's true. My wife knows that. My wife knows that. That's why I try to make sure that I don't piss her off. You know what I mean? I don't need her taking my comics away, because then what's going to happen? Well, for one, then I can't do Comic Talk Today because I don't have comics to read. But for two, I just love it. I love everything about comics. You know, I've been reading comics for decades. It's been a passion of mine for a very long time. And the more I read, the more I want to read, the more I want to know. And there's very few hobbies that I've had in my life that I really feel this passionate about. Very few. I am involved in tech a bit. So, you know, there is kind of a passion of mine, you know, programming, all that stuff, but it's just, there's nothing like comics for me. And I don't know what it is about it. You know, I think when I was young, maybe there was a period in my life when comics was really all I had. This, oh man, I wasn't expecting this one. See, this is the thing about comics of today. You never know what you're going to get. There was a period in my life when I was young, and I started reading comics when I was like 9. And, I just felt like I didn't really fit in school, right? Like, I had friends in school. And, you know, later on when I got to like high school, I was really popular in high school. But I'm talking about like elementary school. I didn't really feel like I fit in. I always got really good grades and I got made fun of for that. I wasn't really a sports guy then. And so I got made for not knowing how to play sports because really I didn't care. And so there was something about comics that really put me in a place where I felt like none of that stuff mattered anymore, right? I was just in this place with something that didn't judge me, that provided me with entertainment, that allowed me to escape from some of the shittiness of life. Okay. If you're not used to me cussing on this podcast, by the way, shame on you, because it's going to drop every once in a while. And then as I got older, you know, things changed, right? I mean, I started playing sports. I was popular in school. I kind of dropped out of comics. But then into adulthood, I really came back in pretty heavy. And I mean, I don't think I've ever read more comics than I do now, for example, right? I mean, I read several hundred comics a month. And if I could read more, I would. But you know, my wife would get mad at me. I mean, there's only so much a secret credit card can hold me, you know what I mean? So, anyways, because of that, it means a lot to me. And the fact that my wife doesn't like comic books doesn't bother me at all, right? Like we have shared interests in other things. We both love reading in general, right? She's big into literature, so am I. I mean, I was an English major, so we have that we can bond over. But then there's also like a few things that we can bond over in terms of comic books, right? So like she loved the Supergirl movie that came out. When was that? Like early 80s, mid 80s maybe. She loves that. Matter of fact, I had to get an autograph from the actress. I can't remember her name. She was at the at SC Comic Con last year, I think it was, or 2 years ago. I had to get a signed picture for my wife. So that, I mean, that's cool, right? That's something we can bond over. Whenever we decide we want to go see a movie, and we're not going to see Shazam this weekend, by the way. I am going to go see it probably on my own because my kids don't want to see it, which is weird because I figured based on the trailer they would love to. But my wife doesn't really want to see it, and the problem is that this weekend is also Pet Sematary, and my wife is like Stephen King fan number one. So we're gonna go see that. But you know, when we look at movies, I'm like, hey, we should go watch this. And the first question is always, is this a comic book movie? Because for some reason she's got it in her head that she's not gonna enjoy them, which is weird because she loves Supergirl. It's literally her favorite movie of all time is Supergirl. Literally her favorite movie of all time. And she hates comics. Some things like I can kind of nudge her into, right? So like not Daredevil. Daredevil. That's a story for a different podcast. Deadpool. She was really excited to go see Deadpool. I'm sure the fact that Ryan Reynolds was there didn't like hurt the thing, right? Even though you don't really see him except tiny little baby leg penis thing. But she was excited to see Deadpool. So of course, like I was excited, right? And if all the comic book movies that come out, even like Wonder Woman, she didn't really care to see, which is fine. I love that movie. I saw it with the kids. But she's really excited for this one. And that has me wondering a little bit why. And after watching this trailer, I think I figured out why. And I think the reason she likes this trailer is the same reason I really love this trailer. Well, matter of fact, she also loved this trailer. But the reason I love this trailer, and I think the reason is the reason a lot of people will probably hate on this trailer and probably hate on this movie. Because to be honest, I watched it twice. And the first time I watched it, I was like, okay. Kind of get a vibe for it. The second time I watched it to see if I can catch a few things as to the plot of the film. And I think what makes this Joker movie really interesting is that this is a Joker movie made for non-comic book fans. And that's really interesting. That's really interesting. Because when you look at the stuff that like Marvel does or DC Extended Universe, there is a level in those films where they definitely appeal to non-comic fans, right? That is for sure the way to go on these things. If you want to make big bucks on these, you can't just make them appeal to comic fans, right? When you have the highest selling book in a month at 100,000 copies, if you sold 100,000 tickets of a film, your film is a bust, right? You haven't made any money. You haven't even made enough money to cover production costs. You probably haven't even made enough money to pay the director. So you have to make it big. You have to make it big. You have to make it appeal to folks. And Marvel's done a really great job. I think DC's really turned around on a lot of stuff with the last couple films. Again, I haven't seen Shazam yet. Hear really great things. I thought Aquaman was a step in the right direction. You know, there's a new Wonder Woman coming out. I think DC's in a good place right now for films. But they're also, what is really interesting, experimenting with some odd things. One of those being this Joker movie. There's like a Super Pets movie that's in the works. I don't know what the deal with that is. There's a couple other things being tossed around that I read about that I found interesting. And definitely pretty bold, I would say, especially as compared to what Marvel's trying to do, where they're pretty much keeping within universe. DC's not really doing that, right? We're getting these films that are based on the characters, but not necessarily part of a cohesive universe. And there's nothing wrong with that because I think it'll work out very well for them. So this trailer is very interesting. I think what really sells this trailer, and you're not gonna get a whole lot about what this movie's about. I mean, there's definitely like bits and pieces here or there, right? So you've got a Joker, he lives with his mom, he's got a pretty crappy life, he's down on his luck, he just wants to make the world a happy place, right? That's kind of how his mom raised him. And all that is interspersed with scenes of him getting beat up, scenes of him losing his cool, scenes of him extremely depressed, him going to Arkham, maybe as a patient, maybe not. I don't think that's really explicitly stated in there. And then him kind of becoming the Joker that I think as comic fans, we kind of know and love and understand, right? Causing mayhem and chaos. And so what I really like about this is, number one, Joaquin Phoenix, because I think he's freaking brilliant. If you guys don't know, right now, Joaquin Phoenix has a movie, it's either out or about to come out, where he plays Jesus Christ. That is not a joke. He plays Jesus. It's a Mary Magdalene movie. And if you're familiar with his career, he's one of these guys that really engrosses himself really, really deeply into every single role that he does. He is, in the truest sense of the word, an actor, right? He completely embodies whatever character he is playing in a film. And, you know, I would say a lot of his films are probably not films that a lot of people will enjoy because they do tend to be maybe a little artsy. And the Joker movie, I think, definitely feels a little artsy, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. But you can't knock him for his talent. I mean, this guy is a really skilled actor. And you can tell from the types of roles that he does how different each of those roles are. Matter of fact, I remember, you guys may not remember this, because this is kind of like a weird thing, but years and years ago, I can't remember how long, we'll just say like 5 years ago. It was probably longer than that. There was this whole thing where everyone thought Joaquin Phoenix had just gone crazy, right? Because he said he was going to quit acting and he was going to become a rapper. And he like grew his hair out real big and he had this giant beard and he literally started touring around the United States playing gigs as a rapper. And I can't remember what his rapper name was, but he was a rapper and he was terrible, totally garbage terrible. He was getting booed off stage every single show that he played, but he's Joaquin Phoenix. So people were showing up to see Joaquin Phoenix rap because they were curious. And this happened for like months. I want to say probably close to a year. This guy was a rapper, a terrible, terrible rapper. I don't remember if he put out an album or not, but he was definitely touring and he was horrible. And he would always rap in like these suits. It was super weird. And then as it turned out, he actually hadn't quit rap. He hadn't quit acting. He hadn't gone crazy. He was researching a role for a movie that he was doing. I think maybe his brother was producing it or something like that. But he had been researching this role. And in order to get engrossed in how this character would think, he literally changed his entire personal life. He quit being what he was for a year to do this crazy character that was literally getting booed off stage, getting stuff thrown at him, simply to get the exact things that he needed in order to portray this role correctly. And it was not even a big movie. This was like an independent film that he was doing. It wasn't a big budget film. Independent film. And so as a result, my wife and I were talking about this movie, or this trailer, and she's like, I hope it's not like The Dark Knight Joker. Because we all know Heath Ledger ended up committing suicide. What the circumstances behind that are kind of shady, to be honest, and I don't want to talk about that, but he was definitely on drugs when he died, and he kind of went through the same thing, right? I don't know if you guys remember when The Dark Knight was filming, people were like, why would the Joker, Heath Ledger, he's going to be a terrible Joker, he's the guy from, what was that movie, First Night, whatever, like garbage movies, like he used to do like romantic comedies in the 90s. What was that? 10 Things I Hate About You, I think. Was that one? No, that was the other guy. Anyways, like those kind of films, right? Oh, She's All That. That's the one he was in. Those kind of films. And to have him be in this, you know, serious role as a psychotic character, everyone's like, unbelievable. This is going to be terrible. And remember, this has been the case for forever, right? I mean, you guys know how I feel about Michael Keaton's Batman. There's bits that I like. He's a pretty good Batman. He's not a good Bruce Wayne in my opinion. He doesn't have the look. He's got kind of the persona a little bit, but not the look. But I remember how crazy people were going over the fact that Michael Keaton was going to be playing Batman. How dare you have this comedian come in and do this role? And now I would say, I mean, for the majority of people, that's everyone's favorite Batman movie, right? Dark Knight's my favorite, by the way. I think I've said that before, but Dark Knight's my favorite. Mostly because of Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker. But Heath Ledger kind of went through this whole thing also, right? I remember seeing interviews when this movie was coming out of people that worked on the film and how creeped out they were by Heath Ledger. Because literally the entire time that they were filming this movie, Heath Ledger never came out of character. He was literally the Joker 24/7 for the months that they were filming, right? Like they would break for lunch, everyone go to lunch, and he's doing, you know, doing his little tics, like, and all the stuff that he does in the film, like exactly as the Joker would do it. He never broke character the entire time. And so my wife is like, I hope it's not like another Heath Ledger where he kills himself, right? And I think that might be different. I think the Heath Ledger circumstances were a little weird. Like I said, I don't want to talk about those. But this is something that Joaquin Phoenix, I think, is known for and has been doing for basically his entire acting career. I'm surprised he hasn't won more awards for his stuff. Maybe it's because he's kind of really offbeat, and maybe not, congenial, I guess is the word, you know? That doesn't have like a mass market appeal. Maybe that's what it is. But I think he is the right guy to do this character. And a few episodes ago on the Nerdy Legion podcast, Nick and I were talking about, my favorite kind of Joker. And I go back and listen to that that episode. I can't remember what episode it is. I want to say I'm going to lie if I say so. Just go and look through the descriptions. You'll see, I mentioned Joker in the descriptions. Or maybe Batman. I think it was Joker. It's probably like 2-3 episodes ago. And my favorite Joker, iteration of Joker, is the Killing Joke Joker. I think that's a really interesting take on it. And really what I like to see out of this character, right? Because he is kind of the yang to Batman's yin. What would be the non-Eastern terminology there? He would be the devil and God doesn't work. He's the heads to Batman's tails. How about that? I think that's a pretty good analogy. I think it's a pretty good analogy. Actually, a really good analogy if you get down to it a little metaphysically. Because there's technically no boundary between the head side and tail side. That's why I like the terminology. Anyways, I'm going to talk about that on my other podcast when I start that, but not for this one. So, you know, I think a lot of writers end up making the mistake of making the Joker just a crazy dude. And you can do that. You can definitely do that. And it can work, and it can work pretty well. But I think ultimately it kind of fails the archetype of the character of the Joker, if that's what you're doing, right? Just either making him the funny guy, and it works, right? As entertainment, right? Batman 66, he's just a funny guy. That works. You can make him a mass murderer, killing machine. Yeah, that's okay. But then you have no motivation, right? It's good for entertainment. It makes you go, oh my God, this guy's doing crazy stuff. But why, right? Why? What's the significance of it? So that's why I like the Killing Joke stuff. And you do get some origin kind of stuff in the Killing Joke. And that's why I brought it up, really, because I think from what I've seen of this film, there's definitely some inspiration in this Joker film from the Killing Joke. And if you've never read the Killing Joke, by all means, go ahead and do it. It's very short. How big is it? Nick and I were talking about this. Maybe we were talking about it at C2E2. Because it's like 20 pages, but I never realized that because I have it in hardcover. So it's an oversized book and it's hardcover, so it looks big. So I always assumed it's like a, you know, 60 page book, but it's not. It's probably like 20, 30 pages. I think 30 pages is generous. It might be closer to 20, if even 20, but it's very short and it's well worth reading. And there's some flashback sequences in there about the Joker's origin story. And it deals with the Red Hood stuff and all that. I mean, stuff that we've seen before, right? And stuff that was kind of played around with a little bit in the Dark Knight movie when the Joker kind of, when you remember when he goes to talk to the gangsters and he's like, hey, like, this is how I got my smile. Like, my dad cut my smile. Like, this happened. Like, none of those stories are true. But they kind of gain some inspiration, I think, from that as well. If you've read The Killing Joke, let me know if you agree, because I think there's definitely some hints. I don't think the background story is necessarily exactly, and I mean, there's definitely differences, right? So in The Killing Joke, the Joker's married, his wife is expecting, and he can't find a job, and he's beating himself up over it. His wife doesn't really care, right? She's like, you're great in bed and you make me laugh. That's all I care about. Now, the money is irrelevant. We'll find a way to survive. And this one, it's different. He lives with his mom, so it's a little more psycho vibes, I say. There's definitely a love interest. So Sassy Beats is in here. She was in Deadpool. So she seems to be the love interest. We'll see how much that plays into it. Because I think she only shows up in one little scene in this trailer. And, you know, I don't know how many changes they've made, but I'm sure at some point we'll, whatever happens to her character will end up motivating him to do some other stuff. I think what's really interesting about this, though, is the way that the movie is structured. And I know that people have been calling this a tragedy. And that's probably true in the modern sense of the word. But what I found really interesting, and this is kind of the pretentiousness. Mike will love this. Mike loves when I talk pretentious stuff. So Mike, this is for you, the pretentious stuff. Everyone's talking about this as a tragedy, but I was watching it, and then I was like, it's not a tragedy at all. It's a comedy. And in fact, the second time I watched it, I caught the, there's like words that pop on the screen. And, there's a line that the Joker reads on there, something about, life being a comedy. And that's when I thought to myself, yeah, of course, like this movie is a comedy in the truest sense of the word comedy. You know, if you don't read like ancient literature, for example, you may not be aware of this and you might not even care. So you can just turn this podcast off right now. But in like Greek literature, for example, comedy was very different, right? So now comedy, when we think comedy, it's like you see stand up or whatever, and the dude makes you laugh, or the woman makes you laugh. You go see a funny movie on TV or whatever. What's a comedy? I'm not a big fan of comedies. Big Bang Theory, is that still on? We'll say it is. Is it funny? I don't know. I haven't watched it in 10 years. Big Bang Theory, or what's that thing? Two men and a baby? No, three men and a baby. That's a movie. We'll go with that. Two and a Half Men. That's what I was thinking of. Anyway, comedies, right? So like weird stuff happens that makes you laugh. Okay. That's kind of what we've come to know as comedy. Comedy used to be very different. And if you look at the stuff that you see in this trailer, this is like literally a Greek comic satire. And I think that's fascinating. Because as an English major and a total nerd for all kinds of literature, particular ancient literature, I love ancient civilization stuff. I was watching this and I was like, holy shit, like this could have been a play in like Athens, you know, 2000 years ago. Because in the truest sense of the word, again, I'm getting nerdy, so I apologize, but again, I'm a nerd, so sorry, not sorry. In the truest sense of the word, back in the day, comedies were very different. It was kind of like a, there was definitely stuff that made you laugh, right? So that's why we've come to know comedy as a thing that makes you laugh. But it wasn't like jokes are being thrown out, right? Or like, what's something that people laugh at? When you trip over a broom and you fall, haha, it's funny. People getting hurt is funny. That's kind of weird, right? People getting hurt is funny. People saying bad words is funny. Anyway, a topic for a different podcast. Hungry for more, coming soon. But really, the comedies were kind of an epic struggle, I guess you could say, between two opposing sides of society. It could be, you know, the poor versus the rich, or the young against the old. And through that struggle, there were certain ironic elements, a lot of use of satire, characters doing things so out of the ordinary of the stereotypical expectations of that particular subset of society that it would make the audience laugh. And explaining it is not funny. Go do some research on Greek comedies, for example, and then maybe you'll get a gist of it. Explaining it is not funny because really comedies were not really funny. I mean, they made you laugh, yes, but not in the way that we think of comedy. Comedy was very different back then. And we see a lot of that in this film, right? So you have this guy that's really down on his luck. He can't get a job. He just wants to make people laugh. And people won't let him make them laugh. Because when he tries to make them laugh, they kick him down and beat him up and take his stuff. I mean, you see that several times in this film, right? There's the suits beat him up. The kids in the alleyway beat him up. So it's definitely this struggle between this guy that's really down on his luck, has no power, no ability, and how he will overcome these struggles. And the way he's going to overcome these struggles from some of the stuff that we've seen teased, some of the stuff that you kind of see in this trailer, is to basically create chaos in Gotham. I'm sure blow things up, cause riots. You do see some riots. You see people in Joker mask in here. And that's how he overcomes these obstacles of the man keeping him down. This is true comedy. This is true comedy. If you don't understand these kind of things, then you're not going to understand what this movie's trying to do. I think this movie is going to be brilliant. This, from just the thoughts that I have in my head of what I've seen in this trailer and what I think this movie could be, this could end up being my favorite movie of the year. Favorite movie of the year. I think this looks really, really fantastic. It is dark. It's got a great cast. It's got a great team behind it. The story looks really, really promising. Don't sleep on this movie. I know I saw some people on our, we've got a Discord chat for the Nerd Legion podcasters. And I know people were talking about it, kind of excited about this. I've seen comments elsewhere. I mean, Twitter's probably a trash place to look for comments anyway. But I've seen comments where people don't really care to see this film. Do not sleep on this movie. If all you want to do is come in and expecting some kind of weird Joker origin story, I guarantee you that is not what you're going to get. So if your concern is that, well, it's going to ruin the Joker for me if I know how he became the Joker, I don't think you have anything to worry about in this movie. Because if you are a fan of the Joker, you know how the Joker works. And from what I've seen of this trailer, it seems pretty obvious to me that the people making this movie also know how the trailer works, or how the Joker works. And he's a freaking liar. So whatever you get in this film is not going to be an entirely true story. Because by nature, you're going to have an unreliable narrator. And this is also part of comedy, by the way. So I recommend you do yourself a favor and you go look up Greek comedies or comic irony, comic satires. And then maybe you'll kind of understand what this movie is trying to do. I think this movie is going to be brilliant. And I'm really happy that DC decided to make this film. And don't judge this right now. I mean, all we have is a trailer. You have my word. I think the trailer looks brilliant. My wife agrees. You know how many times my wife and I agree on comic stuff? Never. Never. So if my wife agrees, maybe you should agree. If you don't like this, that's fine. I mean, I want to know why. If you don't like this trailer, or you're not excited for this film, I want to know why. So do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go on Twitter, at Geekvine. I want you to email me, yell@comictalk.today. Do one of those two things. And let me know how you feel about this trailer, because I'm curious. I'm curious. I really want to know. And if you don't like it, I want you to email me, because I want to know your reasoning behind that. And then I will read them on the next episode, because I'm really curious. I'm really curious. But I'm very excited for this. It comes out October 4th, and I'm sure we're going to get two or three more trailers of this thing before it comes out. But I'm very excited to see how this ends up being. Will it have a happy ending? My assumption is yes, because if it's a comedy, it'll have a happy ending. If it was a tragedy, it would have a sad ending. And I know people are saying it's a tragedy, but the thing is, I think people are seeing this in the modern way of looking at these genres, these literary types. And I don't think that's really what we should be looking at. So anyways, let me know what you think. I'm done babbling. I said it was going to be a short episode. Look at this. It's 32 minutes. How dare me? How dare me? Thank you all for listening, though. I love doing the show, and I love that you guys keep listening. So send me your feedback at Geekvine on Twitter, yell@comictalk.today. Make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. That always helps. And that's it. I'll be back on the next episode.